Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Marks and Reese. On a Tuesday, you just heard from Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson. Doug said not really a ton of notable things. More of the meat and potatoes, at least for what we heard, was from Howie Roseman. I am John Marks. He is Ike Reese. And this kind of officially
there, Johnny Marks?
Kind of officially starts the off season there, Ike.
That's the way I look at it.
So, Howie, let's just get right into it. I get the impression after listening to Howie that he doesn't think this is a Super Bowl team in 2020. On a few occasions, he went back in and said, hey, this isn't a one-year window. We're looking at 2021. He even brought up 2023 when talking about it. So this certainly wasn't a Howie Roseman that came out and said, like, hey, listen, we have a good team, and we're always trying to win a Super Bowl, and we're going for it. No, in fact, he brought up previous years and building the team a few different times. And by the way, I think he's right. I don't think this is a Super Bowl team this year, unless you're going to use $50 million in cap space and go all in on veteran players to try to do it.
No, so you don't need to do that. Well, see, that's what he tried to do last year. And that's why when I hear what he's saying is somewhat he's trying to temper expectations. That's a little bit of what he's doing because you don't have the players in front of you. You may have a plan as to what you want to do. And it may look like a good plan on paper, but until you go out there and execute it and you can get player A, B, C, D, or E on here to improve your team, there's no sense of setting unrealistic expectations. Here's the thing I know. It's the great thing about this sport. Forget about what you look like in March. It's what you look like in November and December and January. That's really what it's about. So – What I have confidence in, when I heard that, you know what I heard? We're not going to get vets like DeSean Jackson and Malik Jackson that are really one-year, two-year type of guys in free agency. If we are going to dip our toes into the free agency pool, we want guys that we know have the ability to be here for the next 3 to 4 years. That's what that said to me. That's what that said to me is that if we decide to bring in a guy, it's going to be a guy like – an Amari Cooper, a Byron Jones, those guys that are 26 years old, 25 years old, 27 years old that haven't hit their prime yet. Guys that if you sign in free agency, there's still good football left in you. 10 draft picks available to you. The ability to move up and down the draft board. Like, those are things that can change the fortune of your team. I don't think this team is that far away. You know, if Carson Wentz has the ability to drag this team to the playoffs, sure, the division is going to be better next year, but so is he. And so should the talent around him be. It's a good – you're not changing too many spots on offense. And we're going to get into one spot that they may not be changing at all. And I'm not real – that has me nervous as hell.
Also notable, Jason Peters, yeah. Both guys.
That's the spot I'm talking about.
Yeah, what did Doug say? He said – what did he say? Hell yeah! Or he made it pretty clear that he wants him back, or he will be back.
Well, it doesn't sound good as that pertains to Andre Dillard. I'm gonna just tell you that.
So that's more about Dillard than anything.
All right, there's no doubt about it. That's all about Andre Dillard.
I honestly, I'm kind of.
It's all about Andre Dillard. But real quick, let me finish my point.
Yeah.
That's the only concern I would have. Because if they don't have enough faith in a guy they just drafted, moved up in the draft to get last year in the first round, they were to bring a 38, 39-year-old left tackle back here. That would scare me. That would scare me. But the other parts out there, Deshaun will be back. They're going to add another receiver or two to what they have on offense. Everything else on offense is set. You may get your running back to back up Boston Scott and Miles Sanders, but for the most part, that's not going to cost you any money. They're set over there. And then you go to the other side of the ball. They have decisions to make. I don't know what they're going to do.
I just didn't hear aggressive Howie. I thought I was going to hear, you know, in 9-7 season, had a lot of injuries. We were close. Carson Wentz, we don't want to waste any of Carson Wentz's years. We're trying to win a Super Bowl every year. He didn't say that. Here's Howie Roseman just a few minutes ago talking about this. There was a lot of talk about a window, not 2020 and going for it. There's a lot of talk with Howie Roseman about a window. Here it is.
Free this offseason to sign free agents who qualify for the contract for
them. I'm not free to sign free agents.
In the past.
Well, mostly last year. I think because we had 10 picks over a two-year period, we sat there and felt like, and we paid Carson, and we have a lot of highly paid players on our team. We felt like we needed a year where we knew we were going to have double-digit draft picks. And so, you know, I look at it that some of those guys that we released during the season, they're good players, and they were good players for the teams that they went to after they came to us. But for us going forward to have those picks and to know we had those picks was important to sitting here now and feeling like we're going to have 10 picks and we need that amount of guys. Now, when we look at it, I think the scenario changes a little bit in terms of if we can get the right free agents. We're not in a mode now where maybe we try to find the undervalued older guys that we try to find the last couple of years. And going forward, we're trying to build this over a period of time. We're not kind of in this one-year window.
There you go. Not trying to build it.
Yeah, that's smart.
It is smart.
I agree. Yeah, the last 2 years, because he said they only had 10 picks and two drafts. So they're trying to fill out roster spots with older guys that he said are undervalued. Guys, they can get in here like an Alshon on a one-year deal. Some of the other guys they brought in, they didn't have the draft capital to get the team to be a good team quick enough. And it worked for them. And then it fell apart. It worked originally in the 1 to 2 year window, and now they're too old. So now you got to get a little younger. But that didn't dampen my spirits about free agency or my expectations for next year, because that'll all change with one signing. You make the right signing or the right draft picks, that all changes. All that changes. Expectations change. And you know, you tell these fans, you think these fans are not going to expect Super Bowl? Hey, they're not going to go into a season, at least the majority of them, saying, well, we don't expect to win this year. We're kind of good with watching this team develop.
You see, I heard a totally different Howie than you heard. Jack Fritz, what Howie did you hear? I didn't hear aggressive Howie. I thought I was going to hear aggressive Howie that we're going and we're trying to win it in 2020. We're trying to win it every year.
Because doesn't he usually always say, like, we're always going to be aggressive and try to find the move, the big move that can help us right away. We didn't hear that today. I heard more of tampering expectations.
Yes. That's what I heard.
I just heard more of a we're going to be smart. That's what I heard.
You know what I heard?
If we don't, we don't.
No.
I just heard. I guarantee you can ask him again and he'll tell you that's not what he said. Yeah, that's never their mindset.
888-729.
That's never the Eagles' mindset. 90... They're not going to throw away a season.
Well, I mean, it's not like throwing away a season. They're not going to throw away a season.
Exactly.
But more or less saying, hey, we were a 9-7 team last year. We're not going to use all of our cap space. He even talked about the cap space, about how you have to be careful. You don't want to use everything up in 1 year because they're looking at it from a three-year window. They're looking at this at a three-year window, not a one-year window.
Yes, they should.
Okay, 888-729-9494.
That's how he should approach his signings and his business. He's not going to go out and sign over-the-hill guys that are going to try to win with this year. In other words, he's not out there looking to get A.J. Green. All right, that's not what he's doing. That's not what he's doing. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't sign Amari Cooper if he became available at 26 years old. There's a difference. right?
Yeah, there,
there's a difference there.
Why? And he even said the older players, he's not going to go out and look for better values with older players to try to get a year or two out.
And that's smart of him.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think it is smart that he looks at this team as a team that is, you know, still going to win some games, but also they're in the process of building right now. But, I mean, what I took out of it is that Howie says he doesn't think they're a Super Bowl team in 2020. That's what I took out of it. I mean, they're building for three years.
I didn't hear that.
Well, I mean, if you think that you're
– What I didn't hear – see, there's a difference in saying we're not a Super Bowl team and we aren't going to go all in for it this year. They're like, there's different ways to explain what your plans are for the offseason. That isn't necessarily an indicator that we don't think we have a chance to win this year. It just means we're going to be smart about it.
All right, coming up, you'll hear Howie again saying this offseason isn't just about next season. We'll play it for you.
The best part is, who all picked the 49ers to be in the Super Bowl this past year? Were they a Super Bowl team?
Nobody.
And I know no one picked the Eagles the year they won it.
Well, why is Jason Peters coming back if this is a build for the next 3 years?
Listen, I tried to tell you. He's going to be the left tackle next year.
Well, that kind of contradicts what the Howie said right there.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
you know why? Because he texts the owner that he's coming back, Jason Peters. 888-729-9494. Jack,
starting at left tackle.
Weren't we saying it until the key card doesn't work anymore? Jason Peters is the left tackle.
Well, that's not good for our first round draft pick. I mean,
like, sniff this one out early.
I mean, that's not good for our first round draft pick. Like, that's all that says to me. It doesn't say Jason played great or anything else. It says, this guy ain't ready yet to be the starter.
888-729-9494. Marks and Reese coming up next. Howie Roseman again talking about this offseason, about how it's just not about next season. Frankly, I'm surprised that he came out and said it. And we'll have the Jason Peters cuts. It sounds like Jason Peters is coming back. All that coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Marks and Reese, we're back. Nice stretch of time here to get in at 888-729-9494. We'll go to the phones. Do we have the other Howie cut here? Again, I was not expecting to hear about this window of building the team. Here's Howie just moments ago right here on WIP.
Yeah, I think the one thing we got to be careful of is the amount of cap room we have this year and then how it's affected next year and the years going forward, because we don't want to be in a position where we lose flexibility totally by doing that. So we're hopeful that if we go into the free agent market, that maybe we're signing guys that are more core guys than more one or 2 year guys. And we look at it from building our team over a 2-3 year perspective as opposed to just kind of this 1 year window.
All right, and Ike, you're dead on with what you said earlier. This is about, like, hey, we'll sign Amari Cooper to a contract. He's a guy that'll be here for a while. He's 26, 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to sign a Malik Jackson, who's 30 years old, or a DeSean Jackson. They're 32 years old. Yeah, they're looking past this year.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting because then out of the same side of his – at the other side of his mouth, he's talking about Jason Peters coming back. Do you have Doug talking about Jason Peters? Here's Doug talking about Jason Peters.
Do you want to say that you're back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I said the same thing about Darren Sproles. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, how did that work out with Darren Sproles?
Yeah. So you wanted to,
I mean, yeah, Doug, you basically told him. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You said the same thing about Darren Sproles. Yep.
How did that work out?
Yes, is the point.
Heck yeah. Jason Peters coming back. Ike, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
He may just be saying what he think he should be saying.
Because he's got to say it right now.
Yeah.
But Howie said something similar, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seemed like that
they're at least open to the idea. They haven't at least made the decision to move on from Peters.
Or they expect him to be back.
That's what I'm saying.
It almost sounds like they expect
him to
be back.
Well, he would come back. If they offered him to come back, he would be back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's up to the Eagles whether or not they want him
back. Yeah, he's under contract.
Is he?
Isn't he?
No, I thought he was a free agent.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah, I'm just saying he wants to play. So if the Eagles are saying you're going to be my starting left tackle next year, he'll be back here playing for the Eagles.
888-729.
Doesn't make it the right move to bring him
back
here. Well,
if Andre Dillard can't play – I mean, I'm not saying I want Jason Peters back, but there's got to be more of a reason than just they want Jason Peters back.
It's Dillard. What do you mean? They moved up to get him in the first round. Why wouldn't he be the starting left tackle? If he could play, he would be a starting left tackle.
Yeah, see, again, like this is going back to the trust in Howie. This is not what I expected at all. This press conference today was not what I expected at all. I was expecting him to come out and say, you know, we're always have our foot on the gas pedal, and when you have a Carson Wentz and you have a DeSean Jackson, we're always trying to win it. Mm-hmm. But instead what he did was he talked about on a few different occasions about this whole window of building the team. I am shocked. And, I mean, and frankly, they're going to bring back Jason Peters, last year's first-round draft pick that'll be in year two that they traded up to get. He's not ready to play year two. Their second-round draft pick last year can't play. How about that? Alshon Jeffrey is owed $26 million if you cut him because Howie decided that he had to guarantee the entire salary. Right, so now you're going into free agency with $50 million in salary cap space, and I'm supposed to trust Howie?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you trust Howie, Jack? After all this?
I'm losing more and more faith by the year. Man. If you look at the history,
dwindling by the year.
The Super Bowl year was the outlier.
Yeah, for sure.
Given his whole track record, the Super Bowl year was the outlier.
Where everything hit. Yeah.
888-729-9494. I'm shocked, right? Like they just spoke, and then we came on the air, and we're still digesting everything that he said. We didn't even get a chance to hear the cuts for the second time. We just heard it real time live, and then came on the air. I'm totally shocked that he came out today and literally said. And by the way, this is what I thought the team should be doing, which is really trying to build. Normally Howie doesn't say anything. Normally Howie comes out and he doesn't give you anything. I don't know if he was trying to give you something or he was trying to set expectations. And the expectations are we're not winning the Super Bowl this year. And we're going to go out, we're going to sign a free agent, maybe. Maybe. They're not signing multiple free agents. They're not going out and trying to get Amari Cooper and Byron Jones like a lot of people.
Sit on all the money?
He just said that you have to watch your flexibility. For next year.
That's just GM talk, man. He doesn't want to show his hand. We don't think like that over at One Nova Care Way.
Normally his GM talk.
Yeah, I said we.
Normally his GM talk is nothing. He says nothing. He actually said something this time. Here's the thing. They're a Super Bowl team. He said if they don't, they don't.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that.
Let's go to the phones. Kevin, Delaware. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, John, I think what Howie, and I'm agreeing with Ike, but I think what Howie is doing is double down on what he said a month ago about having older players. I still think he's going to be very aggressive in the free agency market, but I think what he's saying is, like Ike is saying, is, yeah, we're going to be aggressive, but we're going to get guys that are going to be here for 2 or 3 years, not just that older guy for that 1 year gap. So I don't think he said anything that was outlandish or that just wrong. I just think he said it like Ike said it. He said GM speech. He just said it a lot differently than what you're used to hearing.
Mm-hmm. See,
he doesn't have all that bravado this time. You know, he can't stick his chest out right now.
Not like he could a couple years ago.
He said all that a couple years ago, and then you look at the last 2 years.
Right.
He didn't pull the trigger. He didn't pull the trigger on any trades that was needed at the deadline. So he has to backtrack a little bit. And I think what he's saying is, yeah, we're going to be aggressive. But like to Ike's point, it's going to be guys that's going to be able to fit our plan over the next 2 or 3 years, not just on a 1 year basis.
Because I got to look at it this way, right? DeSean is probably here for one more year, and unless he has a good year next year, they have him for the third year. But he's probably going to have to play his way into that third year.
A lot of those contracts are 2 year contracts maybe you get the third.
So he got to play his way into that third year. So I look at that and I say, well, you need to fill out this receiving core. Who are you filling out this receiving core with? It's not going to be just one guy. It's not just going to be one guy. They're going to have to get multiple receivers this offseason. If Alshon, even if they bring Alshon back, there's a chance he may miss half the season.
Yes. So he could be on the pup list.
Yeah, so you still need to fill the void there. Now, they'll throw J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out there until he just looks terrible, right?
Kind of like Sidney Jones,
one of those things. Yeah. Yeah, because he's a second round pick. So they're not going to get rid of him. By the way, I think he's a slot receiver. I don't even think he's an outside receiver anymore. I think he's a slot receiver.
You know, here's something else that I took out of this press conference, right? Because we discussed, like, all right, well, what is he going to do? Right? Is it going to be offense? Is it going to be defense? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be both, and I wonder which direction they're going to go, whether it's defense or whether it's offense. But it seems like to me, I agree with you, they will be willing to spend big money on a player that they feel like can be with them for the next 3 or 4 years. But outside of that, some minor fill-ins or whatever. Mm-hmm. Minor fill-ins, you're essentially going to be going with the same team with draft picks, maybe a big splash. And more or less, you're just, I mean, they're trying to grow in 2020. That's what I took out of the press conference, was they're more or less, they're building for the future. This is a build for the future. This is, they don't.
I think they're going to get younger. And, I mean, they have 10 draft picks. I don't even think they have 10 spots available.
Right.
So I don't think they're going to take 10 guys and now they're all going to fill in spots in certain areas. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think it's draft capital. You use it to move up and down the draft board to get the players that you want, the key players that you want at certain positions. I think you do the same thing in free agency. You have the ability. You don't have to sit out there and set the market. Maybe they aren't first to Amari Cooper, right? But maybe they're in there. They're in the hunt. And if it's not an Amari Cooper, because here's the thing. Here's the thing the Cowboys got going for them. Either way you look at it, whether it's Amari Cooper or Byron Jones, those are the top two free agents on the market at their position.
And they're losing one.
Well, no, I mean, you're either one you want, you're spending top dollar for.
Correct.
Yeah, you're spending top dollar for whether it's Byron Jones or whether it's Amari Cooper. They are the number one free agents at their positions. So if Cooper goes back, we jump in on Jones. You're probably going to have to look at $60 million guaranteed, 5 years, $90 million, somewhere around there. If you want to play in that water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to cost. Yeah, Cooper, they're not getting cheaper, right?
No, Cooper the same thing. Now here's what they may do. They may go B-level free agents. You know, your James Bradbury's, your Trey Wayans, those type of guys. When you look at the receivers, some of the other guys, Bashard Perryman, you know, some of these other guys that don't cost as much but would still be an upgrade over what you have on the roster right now. And you still have an idea of what you want to do when the draft starts.
Yeah.
Like what you're targeting, what you're looking for.
Let's go to Mark, Northeast Philly. Mark, how are you?
Good. Great show, guys. I love listening to you guys all the time, man.
Thank you.
What's up, Mark?
Listen, what do you think, like, what do you think about, I think Amari Cooper's a soft player. I mean, I really do.
Yeah. A little bit.
What do you think it would cost to maybe get an A.J. Green away from Cincinnati?
I don't see. That's what I think Howie was trying to hint at staying away from are those type of players. You know, the 30-plus year old, you know, he's 2 years, I believe, of dealing with injuries. Like, the name is there, the resume is there, but the recent production isn't there. And so those are the type of guys I think he would stay away from. And wouldn't you rather go with an Amari Cooper, who's coming off a year of 70-plus catches, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, as opposed to A.J. Green, who's 6 years older and who just missed the entire season?
Yeah, I just see A.J. He's played in this weather. I just think Amari's just too soft. I do.
I got to tell you, Mark, you may not be wrong on that, but being a Bengals fan, A.J. Green's soft too. He's soft too.
Didn't he sit out the whole year?
Well, yeah. I'd be worried about the injury. Worried about the injury.
And listen, I like A.J. Green, but A.J. Green didn't show up in those playoff games. You know, they got on Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer. A.J. Green was a no-show in those games also. So, and he's never been known as any type of a tough guy, right? Like, he's not a physical receiver. Was a great talent his first 5 or 6 years.
He played 9 games in 2018, and he played none last year.
Yeah,
He played 10 games in 2016.
So that's 3 straight years of being injured.
Very frustrating fantasy football, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people drafted him last year.
Yeah, that's what Howie is staying away from.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot. No, I mean, and that actually tells you, if he was going to go out and try to get we didn't get Amari Cooper, but we'll take Adrian.
But that would be the undervalued. That would be the guy you would get.
All right, so speaking of Amari Cooper, let's discuss this.
Okay.
All right, and actually, do you have the Jason Peters cut? All right, give me Howie on Jason Peters. Here it is.
Have you made a decision about Jason Peters and going under Dillard?
Yeah, I think as it pertains to all of our free agents, you know, I think it's important that as we go through this process, we keep an open mind with everyone and try to figure out out as we get more information. A big part of this week is accumulating information. That's what we'll do here. You know, obviously, when you're talking about Jason Peters, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player, a Hall of Fame person, someone who's very special to us and, you know, played at a really high level last year. So we'll go through all those decisions this week, and that'll kind of be my stock answer as it goes to every free agent we kind of talk about here.
Have you learned, though, with players of that magnitude, I guess, in the franchise's history, that you kind of have to deal with it a little differently than other players?
Well, there's no question. When you talk about guys that are historic players in the National Football League, guys who are going to the Hall of Fame, guys who are going to the Eagles Hall of Fame, those guys are special people and special players, and you don't have a lot of those during the course of your career. And so you try to make decisions first that are best for the football team, and at the same time have respect and appreciation for what guys have done and what guys have done going forward and are going to be part of your organization for a long period of time.
Mm. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, man? I don't know how much more respect and appreciation you can show Jason Peters. You paid him a ton of money. He played for a very long time. And what do we as players always say? When you want to show us respect, you do what? You show us the money. That's how you show players respect, about how you pay them, right? So Jason Peters made a lot of money playing with the Eagles.
A lot of money.
I don't think anybody's going to feel, nor should Jason Peters feel, disrespected if you feel like it's time to move on from Jason Peters, right? But to me, this speaks more of desperation, that he is a safety blanket, right? They don't feel safe with Andre Dillard.
No.
That's what that says to me. That's what that says to me more than anything. You don't take a left tackle in the first round and then have him sit for 2 years unless he can't play.
Yeah.
Now, if you're telling me you're going to bring Jason Peters back here to be Andre Dillard's backup and Peters is okay with that,
Yeah.
I'm not really buying that.
So in 11 seasons with the Eagles, he's made $100 million.
Yeah, made a lot of money.
He made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So Jason Peters, if you listen to Doug.
You know how many people have made $100 million with the Eagles that aren't quarterbacks?
Not many.
As a matter of fact, not many of them.
Anybody?
Well, Mike and Donovan and Carson are the three, and then Fletcher, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't think Mike actually made
$100 million. No, I'm just saying he signed a contract. Yes.
Right. Yeah, Fletcher probably.
Saying, yes.
Jason made.
Well, I don't think Fletcher's made $100 million either, but he signed a $100 million contract.
Yeah, 11 seasons, he's made $100 million. So yeah. Jason Peters said. So after hearing Howie and Doug, you believe that seems like it's the plan? Jason Peters coming back?
I'll wait and see. I think Doug was saying more of what a coach would say. I think Howie is saying what a GM is going to say. He's trying to leave both options open. He's not committing to Jason Peters, but at the same time, in talking about Jason Peters, he wants to be respectful of Jason Peters. And Doug just takes the shortcut and just says,
heck yeah.
Heck yeah, I want him back. I said the same thing about Darren Sproles. Without even thinking what happened with Darren Sproles the last 3 years.
So here's Howie just moments ago talking about Andre Dillard.
Significant investment in Andre Dillard first round. I mean, how can you allow him to sit for another year if you do have plans of bringing Jason Peters back?
Yeah, Andre getting that experience certainly at left tackle was huge for him. We're very confident in his abilities to be a really good player. But it's a good problem for us to have, that we have a lot of these offensive linemen that we think are good players and that can play. You know, it's an O-line deficient league, and I think we feel fortunate that we have these good options and that it's not the flip side where we're trying to figure out what we're going to do going forward on our offensive line, that we have a lot of good options to choose from.
Yeah, that's
not, I don't like that.
That's not a good problem to have.
No.
It's not a good problem to have when Andre Dillard, you don't have confidence that he can be your starter.
And they trade up for him.
No, and it's not a good problem to have when – Your number one job is to protect your quarterback. Like, it's not a good problem to have. You want to know who your offensive line is. And you supposedly have that in place personnel-wise. And what it says is you don't believe in the personnel that's there.
Yeah. No, you don't believe in Andre Dillard.
Yeah.
Because the good problem to have is, oh, no, he's ready, and we love Jason
Peters.
Yeah,
we're excited about Andre Dillard and getting him going. That's what you want to hear.
Yes.
Andre Dillard learned a lot playing behind Jason Peters, and he's ready to take over. That's what you wanted to hear.
Yes. Because right now, if you, even though Jason Peters is probably going to go in the Hall of Fame as an Eagle, he'll get his number retired and everything. He even said he understood at the end of the year if this was the time. You draft somebody in the first round. It's his second year. He played some time last year. He was groomed by Jason Peters. Now's the time for him to step up. So he's going to be a starter in the third year of his contract? You're talking about 4 years with a fifth-year option for a first-round draft
pick.
You're
trying to figure out, was he worth – and by the way,
and now he's not
going to
start next year?
Yeah, I don't even know what we gave up to move up to get him.
You gave up something.
Yeah. No, you did. No, you did. And could that have been used on someone else?
Could that pick have been used on someone else? I am shocked that there's even a discussion of Jason Peters coming back.
Not a good look. And again, it doesn't have, to me, have anything to do with Jason. It has everything to do with Andre.
Yet he's not ready.
Yeah. That's what it says.
All right, let's back to the phones, 888-729-9494. Amari Cooper, he plays next season at 26. He could be even better than he is now.
You put him with a better quarterback, what do you think he's going to look like?
I mean, he literally could be just entering his prime, all right? It's a need for the Eagles. Totally understand wanting a wide receiver. Byron Jones, also Cowboys, he plays next season at 28. Considered by many, he's not an elite wide receiver. Or elite cornerback, but he's considered like very good Pro Bowl level, but he's not a playmaker. He's a good tackler. Mm-hmm. He's a good cover corner, but he's not like, you know, if you're talking about probably the top of the tier two cornerbacks, still very good. You know, we're going to discuss this because the two biggest area of needs for the Eagles are a wide receiver or a corner. It's just whether or not they're willing to spend big money on Cooper or Jones or what they would prefer. I'll just say this. It's not even close. I prefer Byron Jones. I prefer Byron Jones. Eagles still have DeSean Jackson. They're likely going to have Alshon Jeffrey. They have a second-round draft pick from last season that they more or less have to put in there.
Okay, stop there.
Yeah.
How confident are you in the three players you just named?
Let me see. DeSean, Alshon, and Arthega Whiteside, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, you can go ahead.
But, I mean, you would have to figure one of those three at least would contribute at some point, right?
That's what you hope. Yeah.
Like, they need wide receiver help, no doubt. But if I'm adding a top wide receiver or a top corner, I'm going with Jones because the Eagles' defense needs much more help than the Eagles' offense. I actually, outside of wide receiver, I like the Eagles' offense. But
I agree the Eagles' defense needs more help. But the way I look at it, this is an offensive league. And I'm going to be able to contribute to winning more from that side of the football than I am from the defensive side of the football. You know why San Francisco can win with their defense? For five straight years, they took a D lineman in the top 10. They've been building that defense. We haven't been building a defense through the draft with young players to build a team around the defense. No, that's what San Francisco decided to do, right? They used multiple top picks on D lineman after D lineman after D lineman after D lineman at every position, right? And then went and traded for the kid from Kansas City that was offsides, D Ford. Mm-hmm. Or they signed him in free agency, right? Or traded for him.
They traded for him.
So they did all of that. That means they were building their team to be a team that didn't rely on an offense that throws the ball a ton. They want to run the ball, play good defense. That's how they built their team. The Eagles aren't built like that. We got a Bronco behind the center. And he has a laser cannon. Cannon for an arm. And you know Doug wants to throw the ball. We're not building our offense around running the football. We're going to throw it.
Yeah, no
doubt. And that's why we need wide receivers.
But, I mean,
We need as many wide receivers as we can get. I need a track team.
Well, that's why I'm drafting every round. I'm drafting wide receivers. But it's like the defense, to me, needs more help. We agree with that. I'm worried about the pass rush. And you know what else? I don't know who their corners are next year. I have no idea. I'm tired of worrying about the corner position. I'm tired of worrying about
Jalen Mills and Cravon LeBlanc and Avante Maddox.
Cravon's fine. Avante Maddox may play safety. I don't even want him to be the corner anymore. You still have Miles Sanders. You still have Ertz and Goddard. You still have DeSean Jackson and Greg Ward. Right? You have a good offensive line. I thought.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect the same run out of Greg Ward we saw the last month. I don't know if I'm ready to mark that down in my offense.
So you would take Cooper over Jones?
Yes.
If they're getting one free, they're not getting one free agent. They're not going for multiple big time free agents. They're getting one.
Yes, I would take Cooper over Jones. And yes, I do know about the injuries, the softness, and all of that. Yep.
Cooper, Jones, Jack. Who do you got?
I'm taking Amari Cooper. I'm loading this offense up for the Broncos.
Man.
Yeah, but like you talked about this being an offensive league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you get the wide receiver. That's actually why you get the cornerback, because it is an offensive league. And if you don't upgrade your defense and upgrade your cornerback, I already think your pass rush is well below average. If you don't get a corner that can help cover, and that's exactly what Jones is, he can cover, you're in big trouble.
Man, it is. It's two wide receivers in this division. Two. And we got the ability to have both of them. DeSean Jackson and Amari Cooper. Nobody else has receivers in this. Sterling Shepard, right? We're going to get Danny Dimes. We're worried about the receivers that the Giants have, that the Redskins
McLaurin.
Have. Yeah, we're worried about McLaurin. Yeah, how far did that take Washington with Dwayne Haskins as the quarterback? By the way, I think Riverboat Ron should take Tua instead of Chase Young. But that's just me, and that's just – One of my takes for the draft. As we'll get closer to the draft, I would take the best quarterback in the draft. But Dwayne Haskins, who I liked last year until I actually watched play in the NFL, I'm not that hot on. Who is he throwing to? And if we take Amari Cooper from Dallas, who does Dallas have?
Good point.
Yeah. I like Gallup. Gallup is a
Michael
nice.
Gallup,
yeah, he's a nice receiver. We'll see how he looks as the number one. Without Cooper over there.
Yeah, but it's more. Even though Howie might have just came out and said, if we don't in 2020, but I thought it's more than just a division. It's about how you're shaping
up. I mean, that's why I got to start at. We're going to a 17 playoff, man.
But
you're not going to get the bye week unless you got the number one seed.
But it's more about.
I love bye weeks.
Not even 2020, but what about 2021? Byron Jones is going to have you going to have still be playing in his prime in 2021, in 2022, to where when you do get better and when you feel better about the team, maybe instead of being a 10-win team, being a 12-win team, you're going to need him. I just don't know how you get better at corner, Ike, and I'd rather have a better corner.
You got to draft. Don't you want Cooper? If they decide to let D-Jack go after next season, there's a chance that our wide receiving core will be Ortega Whiteside, Greg Ward, and whatever rookie they draft this year, and hopefully they draft the right one. Like, what are our receivers going to like? Are we going to the Super Bowl in 2021 with that group? Let's say we punt on this season going to the Super Bowl. Well, when they get rid of Deshaun and Alshon, right, when they get rid of those guys, then what do we have for 2021? A bunch of young receivers, and we're going to be looking in the draft for more young wide receivers. We're never going to win.
But it's the same thing you have with corners. Nothing.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. That's a less important part of the game that you can sort of get by with over there at corner, and there is such talent needed at the wide receiver position that, man, I'm thinking about I got to outgun Brett Favre. I'm thinking Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, the Saints. Who else is out there? San Francisco. Who else we got to outgun,
Jack? You're going to have to cover
the Rams
against the Packers,
Rams,
too.
Seattle.
Seattle, I got to outgun these guys, man.
888-729.
Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
94-94. Exactly.
When we go up against Big Red, how do you think we're going to be? We can't beat him. You can't cover Tyreek Hill with Byron Jones.
The offense is fine. The defense isn't. Defense
the offense
sucks.
Is fine.
The offense is fine. You need that wide receivers. You can do that in the draft. The defense is bad. It's a bad defense, and you're losing your corners. 888-729-9494. I'm not worried about the offense at all, actually.
What do you think was ranked higher, the offense or the defense?
What do you think what?
Was ranked higher this past year.
You're going to say the defense.
I don't know. I'm asking
I don't either.
You, what do you think?
The offense.
You think the offense is ranked higher?
I think they're both the same.
You might be right.
Like they're both like 12th or like 12th through 14th.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as
both middle of the pack,
as far as rankings,
yes,
maybe they were about the same. But as far as how do you feel about it? Like, I actually, outside of needing wide receiver help, I feel good about the offense. I like the fact that they have two tight ends that are both dangerous. That Miles Sanders is developing into a really good running back and showed it last year. I mean, I think you said 2,000 scrimmage yards for Miles Sanders in a recent tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have a weapon in Sanders. You have a weapon in your two tight ends.
As if he plays 16 games.
And DeSean Jackson you have too.
As if he plays 16 games, Miles Sanders.
Okay.
Well, he hasn't proven he can get through a full season yet.
Let's go to Dom. Dom, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on today? How you doing?
How are you, Dom?
What's up, Dom?
Talk about Amari. Going on, I want to talk about Amari Cooper, and I think the best thing for Amari Cooper and for us would be for him to stay on the Cowboys for $20 million a year. What do you?
Them to overpay him and give him a big contract, and the Eagles not using the money. Is that? What
I don't
you're
see how that's the best thing for us. That's what I don't see.
Good for us because I don't think he's a good wide receiver. He's good enough for 20 something million a year like Julio Jones is getting. Mm-hmm. And then he becomes a cap casualty to Dallas, and that actually helps us in a sense.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you there.
I would like Amari Cooper on the team.
I mean, saying Amari Cooper isn't a good wide receiver, I don't know what to tell you. You want me to argue with you that Amari Cooper is a good wide receiver? If you don't watch enough football to know Amari Cooper is a good wide receiver, one of the 10 best wide receivers in football, I don't know what to tell you.
Let's go to Matt
Lancaster.
Amari
Cooper's played long enough for everybody to know what type of player Amari Cooper is.
Matt, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Matt?
So, yeah. Wait, why is it like this city here, we cannot develop any young players? Sixers, Phillies, Eagles. It looks like we got a bust. I mean, we got a first-round pick that may not even go to the field if we sign Peters again. We have a second-round pick, wide receiver who stinks. This is why the trade deadline, Marks, we were arguing where I was saying trade at the trade deadline. I mean, now we know we weren't good enough anyway, and he got hurt in the first quarter, but we didn't know that at the time. But, like, we can't develop our assets anyway, so trade them at trade deadlines. Trade them at, like, trade for players now. Use our draft picks to trade for players that are younger, mid-20s, that other teams are putting up, like a defensive back. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't draft them and develop them.
Right.
It's like every sport in the city.
Well, you know, Matt, the way that Howie acted at the trade deadline is the same way he spoke today, which is there's not a quick fix. He's not just trying to go all in 2020. He's trying to build it. He's trying to build it right. He's acting the way that he acted at the trade deadline. Would you agree?
We can't build. Yeah, but we can't build another maybe flop at first and second round picks last year. We got players that we draft that never hit the field. Just like the Phillies, we draft players that don't touch the field that are 25, 26. When other teams are developing and putting players out there at 19. It's just, I get so frustrated with these teams lately with the development and the drafting.
Yeah, and the way I look at it, Matt, in football, when you have an obvious need and you have the salary cap space, I'll say this, unless it's quarterback, because it's rare that quarterbacks become available through free agency, but you never go into the draft trying to address a need. To me, you address that in free agency, because if you go into the draft that way, now you're handcuffed. Now you're drafting for need. You're reaching for guys as opposed to taking the guy that falls to you that should fall to you. And you're getting great value for him. So when I look at wide receiver being a need for the Eagles, what I get afraid of is we get to the draft having not addressed wide receiver. Everybody is in love with these wide receivers in the combine, and they're willing to make deals to move up that we aren't willing to make deals to move up to get. And we wind up with the fourth wide receiver or the fifth wide
receiver.
Or worse,
yeah.
Or deciding they have another player with a higher grade than the wide receiver that's available. So they take someone else. They take another position, right? That's what I get worried about if you just wait on the draft. We've been in these positions where this isn't the first time when we've been told this is the deepest wide receiver class in recent memory.
Oh.
That was in 2014. Odell Beckham, all those guys.
How did the Eagles doing that?
We got
J-Matt.
Yeah, we got J-Matt. Jordan Matthews, he may just retired, I think. It may have been the 2 years later, 3 years later, deepest running back class, a position of need. Again, these are positions of need.
And what happened?
The deepest running back class.
The Vikings jumped the Eagles because the Eagles wouldn't pony up to get Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, but exactly. And we got
Pumphrey.
Donnell Pumphrey. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I don't want to wait just for the draft. I'd rather go into the draft saying, I still have the ability, if I want to move up to get a guy, but I've already addressed my most pressing need, which is wide receiver.
It feels like Howie's lost his mojo. No?
That's what I would. That's the way I would look at it, and that's why I would be in on Amari Cooper if he hit free agency.
Mm. Sadiq in Woodbury.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
What's up, Sadiq?
I was going to say that I think that we should definitely get a corner because our defense is terrible and we can't guard anybody. I think our offense is fine. We got Miles Sanders. We got Zach Ertz. I mean, we got Dallas Goedert. And we got DeSean Jackson. Forget about Alshon and everybody else. Just them alone is a great offense. And then we could just get a receiver in the draft. Like, it's so deep. I mean, it's not going to be like a hit or miss. Like, you could stumble and get a good wide receiver. We just need somebody that runs the
Eagles haven't stumbled
recently. Oh, really? Oh, really? We can stumble and get one. Okay.
I mean, you know, watching ESPN, listening to the radio, they're saying that, I mean, all these receivers are supposed to be good.
Yeah.
So why get Amari Cooper? And, I mean, what Dallas Cowboy has been doing good with the Eagles. Every time we get a Dallas Cowboy, they do terrible.
Sadiq, I understand that, but we got to grow up. We got to move past that, and I'm not using that. You think the Eagles are sitting in the front office saying, I don't want Amari Cooper because when's the last time we brought a Cowboy in, he didn't work out.
No, that's what Jack and Delco do.
Yeah, that's not what front offices do. Here's the thing that I'm telling you. One guy is a proven commodity. That's all I can give you. He's a proven commodity. So I would already have that and the ability to get the other guy, to get the other receiver in the draft. And as far as the cornerback situation goes, you know, I like Byron Jones, but if I were to end up with James Bradbury, Trey Wayans, one of these guys that are still 26, 27 years old, is the difference between Byron Jones and those guys that great as opposed to what the money difference will be? Like Byron Jones, and I like him, but he's about to get paid like he's Darrell Revis, or he's going to get paid like he's the number one corner on the market.
Like he's elite, yeah.
Yeah, like he's an elite corner. So I'm saying, is his play that much greater than the other guys? I think he's the best available, but it isn't that much difference that I got to have that.
All right, so here's our Twitter question, and it's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're getting engaged in 2020, shop Mark's Jewelers' great collection of diamond engagement rings at their flagship store right there in Montgomeryville on Route 309. Online, marks-jewelers.com. I guess a lot of these people weren't listening to the same thing we were listening to,
mm-hmm.
but who's going to be the Eagles' starting left tackle in 2020? Most people are saying Andre Dillard, and some just responses.
Oh, they put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then someone responded and said, nothing screamed Dillard isn't ready from that. Come on.
Oh, really?
Really. Do you know what screamed Dillard isn't ready? The fact that Howie didn't say that Dillard's ready.
Yeah.
Isn't that what screamed it?
Yes. For me, yes.
Or this.
Do you understand that Uecker's back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I said the same thing about Darren Sproles.
Oh, God.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
8887.
You say thank you. Doug, say thank you.
I think I said the same thing about Darren Sproles. You did.
No, he said, heck yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
888-729-9494. Coming up. All right, we stay on the Eagles. Don't go anywhere, anybody. But every day at 3 o'clock, it's Phillies Fever. And today, Ike,
what we got?
Bryce Harper made his Grapefruit League debut. Oh, we have the sound.
B-Harp.
We have the sound.
Not B-Hop. B-Harp.
And also Jake Arrieta.
Okay, that's too close to B-Hop. That's not going to work.
That's not going to work. No, you can't use that.
No.
And also, Jake Arrieta made the start today. I'm going to give you my season prediction on Jake Arrieta and Bryce Harper's debut, the audio of it. Coming up next, Marks and Reese, 94 WIP. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, if you've been waiting for the perfect time to buy your next vehicle, well, now's that time. And my guys over at Elite Acura have more certified pre-owned Acuras in their inventory than ever before. And they're all priced to move. Their lot is absolutely packed with dozens of high-qualified certified pre-owned Acuras for every budget and every lifestyle. Low-mileage vehicles, one-owner vehicles, you want it, they've got it. All their certified pre-owned vehicles have passed a rigorous, comprehensive 182-point inspection, Trust the process. Their factory-trained technicians inspect everything inside and out, so you always get a vehicle that upholds Acura's elite standards. Now's the time to drive home that Acura that you want at the price that you want. Experience the difference an exceptionally priced brand-new Acura can make only at Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage, located on Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Just look for the giant billboard. You can't miss it. Or you can shop their entire inventory online at EliteAcura.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.